Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday, December 19th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of MMA. I am back on home turf. I'm home from Vegas. It was a great trip, honestly. Great trip. I'm sure most of you guys have been, or some of you guys anyways, have been to Vegas. My first time, as I've told you guys. Awesome trip. You know, the funny thing is, like, I almost feel like the UFC was the worst part of my trip, which is crazy, right? Like, you guys know I love MMA, I love UFC. That's my baby, but I almost feel like it was the worst part. Like, there were so much other things to do. Like, I went to so many shows and just did so many things, went to so many nice restaurants, just had a great time exploring the city and just being in a new location for me. So, you know, the card was good. I don't think it was the best UFC card. I've already broke it down. It was a good card, not a great card, in my opinion. There was just so many other things to do. If you guys go to Vegas, there's just so many great shows and great place to eat, great locations to see, sites to see, people to meet. Just, it was awesome. So I had an amazing time. And I'll talk a little bit about it more with Cole Sheldon when I do the second podcast today at 11 a.m. So in about 45 minutes, me and Cole will be doing the second podcast, breaking down UFC Busan. And I'm sure I'll be talking about my trip a little bit more. But I'm back now. So things are back to normal, 10 a.m. podcast. And I'm excited to do it. So a couple things today. Not a ton of news, obviously, but definitely a few things worth mentioning. So I'll start with Rory McDonald. I talked about yesterday, Rory McDonald signed with PFL. And like I mentioned yesterday, for me, I kind of have mixed feelings about it. Like, I think it's a good sign for PFL because they needed someone with a marquee name like Rory McDonald. For Bellator, he didn't live up to the expectations of a big contract at the end. He was a champion, so, you know, at the beginning, he was definitely living up to it. But at the end, he kind of flamed out. The comments about him not wanting to hurt other people, hurting other fighters, I think that threw Bellator off a little bit. They decided to let him go at the end of his contract. They just didn't renew it. Mutual release, signed with PFL. So I just don't think we can expect to have the same guy that we saw a couple years ago in the UFC when he beat Woodley and Maya and those guys. So, you know, he's going to be, like I mentioned yesterday, probably the favorite to win that tournament. But I just think there's other guys that at this point could beat him in PFL, like Magomed Kerimov and Cooper, who maybe the most casual MMA fans don't know, but hardcore MMA fans do know who those guys are, and they do know how dangerous they are. So, you know, Rory's talked about the release now. He spoke with Ariel at length yesterday and basically said that Bellator didn't offer him a deal. He hasn't heard much. Scott Coker did post something yesterday on his Twitter saying thank you, you know, Rory, for the memories and thank you for being a great champion, which was pretty cool. Scott, you don't see Dana White do that when he releases fighters. He just kind of shits on them. So it was actually kind of cool Scott to go out there and give Rory some props, even though I feel like Bellator didn't get everything they wanted out of Rory. Like, they expected more out of him. He was still a champion. He was. And he made it to the finals of the tournament. But I think they wanted a little bit more. They wanted him to be a double champion. He fought Musasi. He lost. They wanted him to win that fight, I believe, and become a double champion in Bellator and become their big superstar they could build around. He just didn't turn out to be that guy. Still had a decent run, 3-2-1 in Bellator. So not amazing, but decent. But again, mutual release, but it was cool to see Scott Coker say that. But yeah, for Rory, he just basically said that he thought Bellator, they just didn't like him as much at the end. So it was kind of interesting to hear him say those comments. He's not wrong, obviously. When you get released, it's usually something that the promoter didn't like, the way they were fighting or the price. So I think it was a little bit of a mix of that. The last fight with Douglas Lima was not a good performance by Rory. The John Fitch fight was not a good performance. The last few fights went to the decision. He hasn't got a finish in a while. So I feel like Bellator was expecting a bit more out of him. And that's why, partly why he was let go. But it looks like Rory's landing on his feet well. According to Rory, he signed a really lucrative contract with PFL. It's the most lucrative deal he signed with any MMA person. That's UFC, Bellator, and PFL. And he's one of the few fighters, I should mention, to compete in all three of those promotions, which is a pretty cool anecdote. I'm not sure what to think about these comments about the fighter pay thing that Rory mentioned. Like, I feel like when he says that, he's talking a lot about if he wins the tournament, that it'd be the most lucrative. And obviously, if you win $1 million, it would be. And he has a chance to do so. Like, don't get me wrong, he could definitely win that tournament. I just feel like there's other guys that might at this point beat him. But I don't know. Like, I'd like to see the contract breakdown a little bit more. We won't see that, obviously, but I guess we will see, you know, per fight when they come out. I would hope if the fights are in Nevada. But yeah, I'm not 100% buying this whole, you know, it's a massive contract, super lucrative. I think if he wins a tournament, sure, it should be. But if he loses the first round, I don't think it's going to be that lucrative. So, you know, I'm happy for Rory because at the end of the day, I'm a fan of the fighters first before the promotions, and I'm happy to see these guys get paid. So if he's happy with his contract, then I'm happy too as a fan and as a media member covering the sport. But at the same time, I just think we all need to temper expectations of Rory. This is not the same Rory McDonald we saw in the UFC 5 years ago that beat Tyron Woodley in Vancouver and he dominated him. It's not the same fighter anymore. It's still a good fighter. He is only 30, so he's still young. But this is a guy who's had a lot of fights. He's been fighting since he was 16 years old, guys. And people forget that he's been fighting half his life as a professional fighter. So that takes a lot out of you. We'll see what happens with him in PFL. I'm happy for the guy. But I just think that he's not the same guy. And we shouldn't get too overly excited about the signing for PFL and for Rory in general. A couple other things here. Henry Cejudo and Jose Aldo continue to go back and forth. It really seems like this fight's going to happen, guys. Like, again, I think Peter Yan should get this title shot. But there looks like a good chance that Aldo's going to get his way and Cejudo's going to get his way. And these guys are going to match up with each other. They're trying their best to convince the fans, the media, and Dana White this is the right fight to make. I think Peter Yan deserves a title shot without a doubt. But Jose Aldo's the bigger name, the bigger fight. Maybe he'll get the fight. So these guys are doing their best to get this fight, this matchup booked. It would have been a lot easier if Aldo got the decision against Moraes, which I thought he won. If he got his hand raised, there's no doubt in my mind this fight would have been booked probably by now. But the fact that he lost makes it kind of controversial if they go out there and give a guy coming off a loss, two losses actually, lost to Volkanovski's last fight, a title shot over a guy in Yan who's won like six straight fights or whatever in the UFC, and he just knocked out Uriah Faber. So it's kind of weird. Alex Nicholson and Ramzi Nijem were both suspended by the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Nijem for marijuana, so nothing too crazy there, 9 months. But Alex Nicholson, 4 years for PEDs, and he got fined a hefty amount as well. So this guy looked really beefed up in his last couple fights in PFL, and now we know why. Former UFC fighter, honestly, never a huge fan of this guy because there were some stories about him and his wife now or girlfriend or whatever. There was a 911 call, if I'm not mistaken, in like a 7-Eleven restaurant a few years ago, which was not nice to hear. So never been a huge fan of the guy ever since that. He did have a nice little run at one point in also the UFC and also in PFL. He did knock out Devin Clark in the UFC, but overall, not a great fighter. And after hearing this, his career might be over. I mean, he could go overseas to, fight in Russia or something like that, or Asia, and not have to deal with the suspension. But as far as his career in North America, 4 year suspension is a long time. I think it might be over for this guy. I want to get to a couple of finances here, but first thing I want to mention is the ticket increase and also the cost increase for pay-per-views for UFC. So I talked to a little bit yesterday. Pay-per-views are going up $5, which is crazy to me. $64.99 American to order UFC pay-per-view. That's nuts. UFC's got to get with the times. No one's going to pay that money. The pay-per-view, especially now it's on ESPN Plus, like you have to buy that first and then get the pay-per-view. It's going way down. So that's nutty by the UFC to do that. And now the ticket prices came up for the McGregor fight against Cerrone. The cheapest ticket's $300. That's crazy. $300 American, that's a lot of money. So to me, that's nuts. I was at T-Mobile. I know how high up the upper deck is. It's pretty high up. But it's still a decent view. It's a nice arena, great arena. Don't get me wrong. And it's Vegas, so you have to pay a little bit more, pay a premium. But still, $300 American, and that's like almost 500 Canadian, if I'm not mistaken. That's a lot of money to sit up top in the upper deck. So the prices are kind of nuts to me. It probably does sell out, though, because it is Conor McGregor, but I still feel like that's crazy. And you know what? The card the other day with Colby and Usman did not sell out. Not sure what the attendance was announced like, but there was a lot of empty seats. I was a little surprised. Like, first time in Vegas, I heard it sells out, or at least by the time the main event rolls around, it's completely full. It was not the case the other day. There was a lot of empty seats, which did surprise me a little bit. So in my opinion, just – I don't know. UFC, I know they like really like their product and they think highly of it, but at the same time, you got to make your product accessible to fans. And I feel like the prices are getting a little crazy right now. Let me get to a couple of fight announcements here. UFC London, this is an interesting fight here, light heavyweight fight between Paul Craig and Ryan Spann. So Ryan Spann was supposed to fight Ovince St. Preux in Houston, and now he's been booked to fight Paul Craig, which is kind of strange. I would have just did the Paul Craig Shogun Hua rematch. I really like that fight. It was a good matchup. We didn't get a winner. So I'm a little surprised they didn't do that, but they are doing this fight with Ryan Spann and Paul Craig. So Paul Craig, he's had a really kind of weird career in the UFC, 4-4-1, very strange. He has 4 wins all by submission, and he's won performance of the night in all of them, and 4 losses, 3 by knockout, 1 by submission, and then the draw with Hua. So very, very weird UFC career. He's a solid fighter, not great, and he has a lot of flaws, but decent. And then Ryan Spann, on the other hand, he's actually on a nice sudden fight win streak right now, including a 3-0 run in the UFC. coming off back-to-back stoppage wins over Devin Clark and Antonio Ruggiero Nogueira. He's looked really good. I think Ryan Spann is a guy who's going to be the top 10 for a while. I think that he's a very dangerous guy. He's huge for this division, 6'5", 81.5-inch reach. I'm not saying he goes and beats John Jones, but I think he does compete with a lot of the top guys in the lightweight division, and I do believe he beats Carl Craig. I'm not sure why the OSP fight got canceled. I guess they like this fight instead, but yeah, I do favor Ryan Spann quite heavily to win this fight. I think he probably does knock out Paul Craig. UFC Auckland gets a women's bout between Rachel Ostovich and Shayna Dobson. So Rachel Ostovich, in my opinion, getting a fight that she should win for sure. And obviously, she's very marketable. She's coming off two straight losses. UFC needs to get her back on the winning ways. She has a losing record. It's 4-5. But we all know how marketable she is. So there's no, you know, there's no doubt about that. UFC likes her, and you could see why they like her. But she got back on the winning track. She's lost back-to-back fights by submission to Paige VanZant and Montel De La Rosa. And she takes on Shayna Dobson here. And again, this is a very winnable fight, in my opinion. Shayna Dobson is probably one of the weaker fighters in the women's flyweight division at this point. She does not look very good in the UFC. Her record's only 3-3 as a pro. And in the UFC, she's just 1-2. She beat Ariel Beck, who's no longer in the UFC. And honestly, most people don't know who that is. And then she lost to Lauren Mueller and Sabina Mazo. Hasn't looked very good, in my opinion. And I think she probably loses this fight as well. So it looks like a very winnable fight for Rachel Ostovich. In the last fight, Brianna Van Buren's injured, and Angela Hill has stepped in to fight Hannah Cyphers at UFC Raleigh. So a nice little fight here, actually. I think this is a really exciting fight in the women's strawweight division. Hannah Cyphers and Angela Hill, they match up really well with each other, both strikers primarily. This should be a fight that takes place on the feet. Hannah Cyphers, 10-3 record, 2-1 in the UFC. Coming off back-to-back wins over Jodi Escobar and Pollyanna Viana, did lose to Macy Barber in her debut. No shame in that. And then Angela Hill, we know her from two different stints in the UFC. She's been around for a while now. She's a bit older in this division at age 33. But actually, she's 34. She just turned 34 last week. But yeah, 10-7 record in her career. First time she was in the UFC, she went 1-2. And the second time now, she's gone 5-5, and she's been really inconsistent. She is coming off one of her more impressive wins over Ariane Carnelosi. She looked really good in that last fight, but overall, a very inconsistent fighter, and someone it's just kind of hard to trust putting money on her, you know, if you're a bettor, because she's just so inconsistent. She's one of these fighters that's like win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. Having said that, matchup-wise, this is a decent fight for Angela Hill, so it's an interesting matchup. I think this is close to even, and I wouldn't be surprised if either fighter won. I actually like this fight. I like the Brianna Van Buren fight even more, but it's unfortunate she got hurt. I think she's a really good prospect, but, you know, obviously injuries happen in the sport. A couple other things just before I get out of here. Unfortunately, Alexander Volkanovski broke his hand in the Max Holloway fight. He's going to be injured and out for a little while. Hopefully not too long. He says it's not too serious, so hopefully a few months he'll be back. Next year, hopefully, in the early part of the year, probably, you know, I'd say maybe like April, May, June, somewhere in there, if I had to guess, but maybe it's a little bit longer. And Michael Bisping went out and said that Colby Covington's broken jaw is karma, which again, I talked about this the other day. Like, it's kind of sad how so many people are really like just going after this guy. Which I know he says a lot of controversial things, and people don't like him very much, but it's kind of sad seeing so many people kick someone when they're down. Like, it's pretty stupid. I mean, listen, if anyone deserves it, it's Colby. He'll be the first to tell you that. But still, it's kind of crazy. Anyways, guys, that's it for this. Oh, actually, you know, I got two questions here. Marcus Williams, I think Scott Coker's biggest mistake with Worthington was booking him versus Gegard. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That was a bad matchup for him. He got hurt in that fight. He was never the same. But, you know, Marcus, honestly, it was back to the Robbie Lawler fight in the UFC, the second one. Never the same guy after that. Daniel Edwards, to be fair, Coker didn't want to make that match, but Rory insisted on it. You know, it is what it is. Like, listen, Rory wanted to be a double champ. Bellator wanted to give him that opportunity. It didn't work out. But, yeah, he did get hurt in that fight. A lot of people point to that fight. It's not just you, Marcus, that's pointing to that matchup as really bad fight and a turning point in his career, in Rory's career, but I still think it goes back to the Robbie Lawler fight where he got his nose smashed in. He's never been the same. He really hasn't. So it's unfortunate, but again, this guy's been fighting since he was 16. I saw his first fight years ago. I think it was the King of the Cage. I remember seeing that on TSN years ago and never been the same guy. Anyways, guys, I'm going to get out of here because I have to get ready for the second podcast. Follow me on Twitter @MMAdamMartin, podcast, MAOddsBreaker.com, YouTube, SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, all that stuff. DJPenn.com and MMARigs.net just posted an article on why I don't like the Frankie Edgar and Korean Zombie matchup. All right, guys, thanks again for tuning into this morning edition of the podcast. I'll be back in, like I said, about half an hour, 40 minutes, 11 a.m. Eastern with Cole Sheldon to break down UFC Busan. So definitely tune into that. And we'll also be breaking down both the Bellator cards this weekend. I'll talk to you guys very shortly. Have a good one. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.